Meditation for this evening is from the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. We have been following the Lamb theme since the beginning of this year. And tonight, as we come to the table again, we want to think of this theme of the Lamb and the text for this evening, Revelation 6, 15 to 17, although the context is 12 to 17. And what we have in the sixth chapter, especially the section we're looking at, is the opening of the sixth seal, the awful, awful time that is to come. In verse 12, John writes, "And I looked, when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind, and the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." Our text. "And the kings of the earth and great men and commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come. Their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?' Our Father, we pray that you will grant the true ministry of the Spirit of God, that as we look on this other side of the Lamb, we shall have reasons both to fear as well as to rejoice. May the Spirit himself lead us into the mind of Christ with the Word of God, so that we will have the adequate response that God would have us to have as we look into the face of Scripture this evening and see the wrath of the Lamb. In Christ's name, amen." One of the things that is most interesting if you know people is that when you see people in a certain placid state, you are shocked when you see them just the opposite of what you're used to seeing. Someone might say, "I have never seen him so angry before." I don't usually get that angry myself, except I can remember one time I was given the responsibility of looking after a dog. And for some reason, the animal ran away, and up to this day, I don't know if he has been found. And I was so angry, my wife got almost worried because she had never seen me that angry before. Well, we're looking into a text this evening that shows us another side of Christ that you and I are not familiar with, or if we are, we try to put it at the back of our minds so we will not have to think of it. We don't like, as human beings, especially as North Americans, we don't like to be made to feel uncomfortable. It frightens us. It scares us. It causes some uneasiness about us because we are not in control of things. Yet when we get to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, we see something that, my friends, is actually scary. We all know the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We love to think of him that way. Yet when we look through the entire scripture, we see that he is not so gentle in as much as he is gentle, but he is also angry. And I want us to take us for a few moments. This is a meditation, so I will not be long with the text this evening. As we meditate upon this text, as we come to the table, I'd like you to meditate with me upon, first of all, the face of the Lamb. The face of the Lamb. The word presence in our text literally is the face, because the face speaks of the presence of a person. So John writes for us in Revelation 16, "And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from His presence, His face. It is interesting to understand what the expression of His face really was. Because the term His face or His presence comes from a Greek word. Two words make up this word. And it is toward the eyes. So that when they stood before the Lamb, their attention was riveted to above the nose toward the eyes. Now, this is very fascinating and moving. Because many of us have been to concerts and so on where our children, our grandchildren are performing. And you might be all the way in the platform, but you can stand from where you are and you can make contact with the eyes and you can say to your grandchild or to your son or to your daughter, I'm here. There is some connection that takes place. But my friend, this is global. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who sits upon the throne, who is worthy according to the end of chapter 5, now is seen as the Lamb who is exercising His rights to judge. And as those who stood before Him saw His eyes penetrating them, they became completely unglued, if you please. Something happened to them within, as happened to Peter in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. Do you remember when he had denied the Lord three times? As Jesus was being led away from the court where he was being judged, unrighteously, may I say, Peter looked over, and Luke tells us that Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter wept. The look of Jesus at Peter, what did that look say? He penetrated Peter's innermost being. He reminded Peter by that look of what he had prophesied before. But I believe, dear friends, unlike the 6th chapter of Revelation, when he looked at Peter, he said to Peter with his eyes, I love you. It broke Peter. He wept when he saw those eyes. And Revelation chapter 1 tells us, my friends, that the eyes of Christ, who is the Lamb, was penetrating. They were as flame of fire. So in the 6th chapter of Revelation, the expression of His eyes, as they were called to bring the attention of all before Him, the Lamb stood with eyes that were blazing, eyes that were penetrating, eyes that were judgmental. And it looked right through the kings and the priests and the slaves and the free and those of all nation, of all positions. The Lamb confronts them, and when they looked at His eyes, there was a reaction. There was a reaction. What was that reaction? This text tells us that they went and they asked that the mountains fall and them hide me from those eyes. Don't let those eyes penetrate me. I cannot stand to be scrutinized. What a day that must be when those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will have to look into those eyes which will say, depart from me. I never knew you. So, my friends, when we come to the table tonight, we will not have to be afraid of those eyes. Those eyes have already taken care of what brought judgment, or what will bring judgment upon those in that day. The table reminds us that His eyes are eyes like those that looked at Peter, not the eyes of those in the days of judgment. What was the reaction? Hide us from His face. The word hide is a very interesting word again. We get our word cryptic from it. A secret place. What they were saying, we cannot stand that eyes. Find us a place that will cause His eyes not to penetrate us. Have you ever thought of that? Find us a place where His eyes will not be able to trace us. Dear friends, in Proverbs 15:3 it says, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the entire earth. There is not a place that man can hide from the eyes of the Lamb. No depth is too deep. No height is too high. No breadth is too wide to be hidden from Him. That is a marvelous thing, because that is both comforting and at the same time threatening. It is wonderful to know that there's not a place that I can go from the eyes of the Lamb, so that whatever situation, whatever location, wherever I am, I can be absolutely confident that His eyes, as the songwriter puts it, His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me. That's wonderful. But what a tragedy, my friends, to know that when those eyes look down, they see the good as well as the evil. The good as well as the bad. How frightening that can be. And may I suggest to you listen to the reading tonight, I hope. As our youth minister read from 1 Peter, we should spend the rest of our time here in fear. You know what we have done in this day? We have taken that word fear because we don't like it. And we have changed it to mean reverence. That is true, my friends, but that's not what Peter is saying. In fact, Paul puts it even more frightening. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I seek to be pleasing to Him, whether absent or present. There is to be a healthy fear of God. A fear that actually keeps us from disobeying Him. It's wholesome. People like to say, we shouldn't serve out of fear. Yes, the Scripture says we ought to. The Scripture says that. You see, fear, my friends, keep us from doing what we ought not to do, but love motivates us to do what we ought to do. That's the idea. That's a balance of fear in the Scripture. And so this head, find us a place where we can hide from Him. We cannot stand His eyes. Find us a secret place. Get us a crypt, if you please, where we can go and be safe from those penetrating eyes. It was the eyes of the Lamb. Now, quickly. Why were these eyes? Seal.
If you believe on Him, then He will enter in, and that will answer our prayer.
Meditation for this evening is from the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. We have been following the Lamb theme since the beginning of this year. And tonight, as we come to the table again, we want to think of this theme of the Lamb. And the text for this evening, Revelation 6, 15 to 17, although the context is 12 to 17. And what we have in the sixth chapter, especially the section we're looking at, is the opening of the sixth seal. The awful, awful time that is to come. In verse 12, John writes, "And I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Our text. And the kings of the earth and great men and commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come. Their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Our Father, we pray that you will grant the true ministry of the Spirit of God, that as we look on this other side of the Lamb, we shall have reasons both to fear as well as to rejoice. May the Spirit himself lead us into the mind of Christ with the Word of God, so that we will have the adequate response that God would have us to have as we look into the face of Scripture this evening and see the wrath of the Lamb. In Christ's name, amen. One of the things that is most interesting if you know people is that when you see people in a certain placid state, you are shocked when you see them just the opposite of what you're used to seeing. Someone might say, "I have never seen him so angry before." I don't usually get that angry myself, except I can remember one time I was given the responsibility of looking after a dog. And for some reason, the animal ran away, and up to this day, I don't know if he has been found. And I was so angry, my wife got almost worried because she had never seen me that angry before. Well, we're looking into a text this evening that shows us another side of Christ that you and I are not familiar with, or if we are, we try to put it at the back of our minds so we will not have to think of it. We don't like, as human beings, especially as North Americans, we don't like to be made to feel uncomfortable. It frightens us. It scares us. It causes some uneasiness about us because we are not in control of things. Yet when we get to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, we see something that, my friends, is actually scary. We all know the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We love to think of him that way. Yet when we look through the entire scripture, we see that he is not so gentle in as much as he is gentle, but he is also angry. And I want us to take us for a few moments. This is a meditation, so I will not be long with the text this evening. As we meditate upon this text, as we come to the table, I'd like you to meditate with me upon, first of all, the face of the Lamb. The face of the Lamb. The word presence in our text literally is the face, because the face speaks of the presence of a person. So John writes for us in Revelation 16, "And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from his presence,'" his face. It is interesting to understand what the expression of his face really was, because the term his face or his presence comes from a Greek word. Two words make up this word, and it is toward the eyes. So that when they stood before the Lamb, their attention was riveted to above the nose toward the eyes. Now, this is very fascinating and moving, because many of us have been to concerts and so on where our children, our grandchildren are performing. And you might be all the way in the platform, but you can stand from where you are and you can make contact with the eyes, and you can say to your grandchild or to your son or to your daughter, "I'm here." There is some connection that takes place. But my friend, this is global. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who sits upon the throne, who is worthy according to the end of chapter 5, now is seen as the Lamb who is exercising his rights to judge. And as those who stood before him saw his eyes penetrating them, they became completely unglued, if you please. Something happened to them within, as happened to Peter in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. Do you remember when he had denied the Lord 3 times? As Jesus was being led away from the court where he was being judged, unrighteously, may I say, Peter looked over, and Luke tells us that Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter wept. The look of Jesus at Peter, what did that look say? He penetrated Peter's innermost being. He reminded Peter by that look of what he had prophesied before. But I believe, dear friends, unlike the 6th chapter of Revelation, when he looked at Peter, he said to Peter with his eyes, I love you. It broke Peter. He wept when he saw those eyes. And Revelation chapter 1 tells us, my friends, that the eyes of Christ, who is the Lamb, was penetrating. They were as flame of fire. So in the 6th chapter of Revelation, the expression of his eyes, as they were called to bring the attention of all before him, the Lamb stood with eyes that were blazing, eyes that were penetrating, eyes that were judgmental, and it looked right through the kings and the priests and the slaves and the free and those of all nations, of all positions. The Lamb confronts them, and when they looked at his eyes, there was a reaction. There was a reaction. What was that reaction? This text tells us that they went and they asked that the mountains fall and them. Hide me from those eyes. Don't let those eyes penetrate me. I cannot stand to be scrutinized. What a day that must be. When those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will have to look into those eyes which will say, depart from me. I never knew you. So, my friends, when we come to the table tonight, we will not have to be afraid of those eyes. Those eyes have already taken care of what brought judgment, or what will bring judgment upon those in that day. The table reminds us that his eyes are eyes like those that looked at Peter, not the eyes of those in the days of judgment. What was the reaction? Hide us from his face. The word hide is a very interesting word again. We get our word cryptic from it. A secret place. What they were saying, we cannot stand that eyes. Find us a place that will cause his eyes not to penetrate us. Have you ever thought of that? Find us a place where his eyes will not be able to trace us. Dear friends, in Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the entire earth. There is not a place that man can hide from the eyes of the Lamb. No depth is too deep. No height is too high. No breadth is too wide to be hidden from him. That is a marvelous thing, because that is both comforting and at the same time threatening. It is wonderful to know that there's not a place that I can go from the eyes of the Lamb, so that whatever situation, whatever location, wherever I am, I can be absolutely confident that his eyes, as the songwriter put it, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. That's wonderful. But what a tragedy, my friends, to know that when those eyes look down, they see the good as well as the evil. The good as well as the bad. How frightening that can be. And may I suggest to you, you listen to the reading tonight, I hope. As our youth minister read,
from 1 Peter.
We should spend the rest of our time here in fear. You know what we have done in this day? We have taken that word fear because we don't like it. And we have changed it to mean reverence.
That is true, my friends, but that's not what Peter is saying.
In fact, Paul puts it even more frightening. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I seek to be pleasing to him, whether absent or present. There is to be a healthy fear of God. A fear that actually keeps us from disobeying him. It's wholesome. People like to say, we shouldn't serve out of fear. Yes, the scripture says we ought to. The scripture says that. You see, fear, my friends, keep us from doing what we ought not to do, but love motivates us to do what we ought to do. That's the idea. That's a balance of fear in the scripture. And so they said, find us a place where we can hide from him. We cannot stand his eyes. Find us a secret place. Get us a crypt, if you please, where we can go and be safe from those penetrating eyes. It was the eyes of the Lamb. Now, quickly, why were these eyes troublesome? Because the text tells us the wrath of the Lamb had come. Here was Jesus, my friends, in the days of his flesh, gentle, meek, tender, a servant. But here he is now in glory before the whole earth, the judge of the whole earth. God placed in his hands the judgment of mankind. And now he sits upon the throne in authority. And now he sits with those penetrating eyes. And his wrath is about to be poured out upon the face of the earth. Two things about the fierceness of the Lamb. And please understand this, friends, that the wrath of the Lamb is first of all pure. Pure. Not vindictive. The word for wrath here is orge, orge. And the word literally means a disposition of anger. In other words, my friends, the anger of the Lamb was not a sudden burst of emotion. I looked up again to be very, very sure. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. The Lord is righteous, and he is angry with the wicked every day. The Lord is righteous, and he is angry with the wicked every day. Let me ask, my friends, without being critical of anybody, when was the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? That God is angry. That there's coming a day when God is going to judge unrighteousness and transgression and irreverence. This is where his wrath is projected, my friends, against those things. And there's coming a day when those who have rejected the Lamb will have to stand before the Lamb as the judge. And his wrath is not something that he is, I'm going to get even with you. God doesn't need to do that. His wrath is a righteous anger, which will be taken, my friends, upon those who have not obeyed the gospel. And those who are getting away, if you please, with murder today. You know, this past week, you know what happened to the church. And I want to be careful, because I don't know everything about what has gone on. But it's amazing. Do you know, my friends, that if they did not find any money on that fellow, we couldn't charge him with thievery. We couldn't charge him with that, because he didn't take anything. He had everything ready to go. But we cannot charge him with that. A couple of years ago, Dorothy Sloss, in her home, as she went home, she found a burglar in the house. He got out at one end when she was coming in the other end. Do you know that if Grant was at home and he had conked that thief over the head, that Grant could have been charged? I heard the story of a fellow in the States. I heard this news from Pearl Harvey some time ago. A fellow who had his garage broken into again and again and again. Couldn't find the culprit. So he put a secret camera, in there. And of course, the crook was caught. And do you know the crook was able to charge the proprietor
with invading his privacy because there was no sign saying that there was a camera on his property? That's right, friends. That makes us angry. And how we would like to take those culprit and get their necks, if you please. But that's God's business, not ours. There is coming a day, my friends, when the wrath of the Lamb will be poured out upon ungodliness and lawlessness. Let us wait upon his time for vengeance. It is not ours to take. We come to the table because we have been delivered from his wrath. Thanks be to God. We have passed from death unto life, and we will not have to stand in the judgment. The Lamb will not take those eyes and penetrate us in order to condemn us. The Lamb will take those eyes and welcome us in order that we might worship him. His wrath is pure. No vindictiveness, no sudden burst of anger, no out of control emotion. No, my friends, a disposition. The God who is love, the Lamb who is gentle, is the Lamb who is angry. Not only do we see his wrath being pure, but we see the wrath being planned. At the last verse, for the great day of their wrath has come. That's a great line. God has appointed a day, has fixed a time in which he will judge the world, says Acts 17 and 31. A fixed time, not before, not late, not soon. At the time of God's appointment, his wrath will come. There's a day coming, dear friends, when God will make everything right. When the great and the small shall stand before him, when the rich and the poor will stand before him, when the slave and the free will stand before him, and they will have to stand him either as their judge or as their Lord. But for you and for me, as we come to the table tonight, listen to what Count Zinzendorf wrote 300 years ago. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. In a day, my friends, to come, the world will say, find us a place that we can hide from the eyes of the Lamb. But you and I, tonight, and as we live in expectation, shall say, with joy shall I lift up my head. Why? Because there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners, you and I, who plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Those who trust in the Lord shall never be ashamed.